Pois que
And Kathy, whenever you're ready.
okay. I'm calling this Bay Village Historic District Commission public hearing to order at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, December 12th, right?
Oh gosh, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's
Yeah.
okay.
I don't know what's
2023.
wrong with me.
That's okay. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, including the March 29th, 2023 legislation extending the suspension of these provisions until March 31, 2025, we are conducting this meeting online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the Bay Village Historic District Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. So I just want to say commissioners present looks like Kilgus, Knopp, Dunwell, McDermott.
Yep, and that's it.
Yeah, plus Joseph Cornish, Director of Design Review, Landmarks Commission, City of Boston. Okay, so Joe, from the agenda, it appears that first order of business is review of revised regulatory standards.
Yes, and we don't have any design review applications, so I'm going to go straight to the review of the regulatory standards and in. The staff comments, and here they are, that I sent out today. I explained, and as we discussed last month, I reached out to the Bay Village Neighborhood Association and the Massachusetts Historic Commission, and I asked for comments by December 5th, and I did not receive any. And I do see that Tom Perkins is here, so, why don't I make him co-host so he can unmute himself? Hi, Tom. I just I see that you're here. Do you have anything to report on feedback from the Neighborhood Association?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, we had a technical fumble on our meeting earlier in the month, in that not everybody was able to log in. Was one of those Zoom problems. So we didn't have full participation in the meeting, and so we didn't go over it. From a personal standpoint, I don't find anything here to be super controversial, and so I haven't gotten a lot of feedback from those who I've been shared with, but no, we didn't get any notable feedback, and sadly we did not have a chance to discuss it as a group because the meeting kind of blew up on technical grounds.
Okay, all right. So then, I think what I will do then, Commissioner, is just walk through the few comments that I did receive that you can see here from a staff member from the Boston Transportation Department, and I'll just make this a little larger so people can see. And what I think based upon these comments, that the staff person was maybe not familiar with the existing design guidelines that we've been working with for over almost 40 years now, and the fact that we're not our design regulatory standards are not changing the purview of the commission at all. So it seems like a lot of these comments are questioning, the authority of the Bay Village Bay Village Historic District Commission. So, what I'll, just sort of walk through here, the one of the first responses was in regards to the paving of public sidewalks. And you can see here what the staff person just way here. What were the language we're proposing? Appropriate paving materials are wire cut for public and private walkways. And the comment, this does not conform to current accessibility standards where smooth concrete is the desired pavement materials for all public sidewalks. The Transportation Department has been working with members of the disabilities community over the last year, which has been made quite clear to us. And then they ask how many people who use mobility assistive devices were consulted in the process, and under what authority does this commission dictate paving materials to public works? So my response, I plan to follow up with the staff person, you know, what our existing design guidelines simply state are that sidewalks will be brick, period. And, you know, in our whole work with updating these design guidelines have been to, you know, make it more clear for staff, for commissioners, members of the public and members of other agencies, of, you know, what the expectations are and what, you know, what we're looking for in preserving the historic character of the neighborhood. But specifically, the language regarding the wire cut brick came to me from a staff member named Jill Zick from the BPDA. And the wire cut brick has been the standard for sidewalks, existing brick sidewalks that need to be replaced or repaired in all the other local historic districts. And the wire cut brick, what that means is it's the brick that fits more firmly together and doesn't, you don't get the uneven settling. So I think I'm glad they reached out with these comments, but I don't think we're really asking anything unreasonable here or really making a huge change to our existing design guidelines. I think if anything, we're just making it more clear that we want to work with the Disabilities Commission to make our sidewalks safe while keeping them the brick for the character defining of the district. So I don't know, commissioners, do you have any questions or do you think what I'm saying here makes sense?
Completely.
Yeah, but I have a follow-up question, though, if I may.
Sure.
Actually, two of them. One of them has to do with the sort of the jurisdiction, in a way. Like, isn't the city responsible for the sidewalk and how it's what it's constructed of and how the bricks are laid in and the little crosswalks? And I thought that was all city stuff. Am I mistaken there?
The public sidewalks, correct.
Right. So is this more like it would apply to a private sidewalk?
No. This
is in our purview.
Our jurisdiction is over public and private sidewalks. And, you know, the study report and the existing regulatory standards, the sidewalk area comes under the heading of public areas and utilities. So, you know, it's always been, I thought, very clear, and I think very clear, that the Bay Village Historic District Commission has purview over public sidewalks, as well as the gas streetlights, which we'll get to a few
times. Just one quick little follow-up on that. I understand what you're saying. Thanks for clarifying. Let me just point out that the brick sidewalks in Bay Village, most of them are impossible to navigate in any kind of easy way. They are like just... Yeah. All over the place because of tree roots. So we love our sidewalks. We like the way they look, but it's not at all friendly to somebody in a wheelchair. It just isn't. So it's just a thing to notice. We have one wheelchair person who lives in Bay Village that I know of, and he just rides in the street. Or maybe two.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think, you know, the issue is the maintenance of the sidewalks. Absolutely. And the maintenance of the brick sidewalks.
Yeah.
I think that's more the problem of, you know, unfortunately what's happening that's making them unsafe.
Right. Well, from time to time, the Public Works comes around and they take on a project where the bricks have been pushed up by tree roots. And they pull it all apart. They cut the roots down. They put the bricks back and then they leave and it looks good for a while. But it's a real challenge for them. But anyway, I think your proposal is fine.
Okay, thank you. All right. So we can move on to the next comment was our proposed language for street furniture. All street furniture, including but not limited to planters, trash receptacles, bicycle racks, mailboxes, and newspaper racks as subjects to the commission review and shall be appropriate in scale, design, and placement. The comment that we received, the Boston Transportation Department only has one type of bicycle rack. That is our only option for installation of bicycle racks. Bicycle racks should not be removed. Bicycle racks should be removed from this section. I would say the same thing for public works and trash receptacles. Our BVA or BVAC can approve the typical products that we have for bicycle racks and trash cans, but it would be inappropriate for the commission to review every instance of siting of a bicycle rack our trash can, as the commissioners would need to be experts in architecture, not transportation nor waste operations. So again, our current guidelines are pretty vague. And again, it's under the heading of public areas and utilities and states, street furniture, visible utilities, and ornamentals in public parks will be simple in design. All additions or replacements will be subject to review. The proposed language simply further defines street furniture. So that, you know, that's, you know, really, I think what we're doing here was just trying to make it clear what type of street furniture, and we give examples of what the commission wants to review. And, you know, while the transportation department may have one bicycle rack option right now, you know, we do have to consider the fact that, you know, we hope these design guidelines will be in place for 10, 20 or more years. So, you know, in the event that there are some different types of bicycle racks or trash cans that are being developed, you know, we want to make sure that they are consistent with the character of the district. So, you know, again,
I have a question about that. How would that even come up to us?
You know, it would... What would probably happen, you know, ideally would be we would receive an application from Public Works or from the Transportation Department, probably for like a neighborhood-wide upgrade of trash cans or a block-wide proposal for bicycle racks. That's what's happened in the South End. I mean, I don't really know that there are many, Kathy, you may know as a bicycle rider in Bay Village, are there many bicycle racks that exists now in Bay Village? I don't think there
Well, Steve and I can speak to that. I don't think there's, is there one, Steve?
Zero.
Yeah, there's none.
And I think,
and I don't believe we were consulted when those big belly trash things went in.
Nope.
I don't think they're that cute. And they were never.
I think there was a discussion in the BVNA about the
exactly.
Big, but not it was, in history.
It was never a question of,
so and they probably, you know, and I think under, you know, under our simple current guidelines, they probably should have, because it just said, you know, it just refers to street furniture, visible utilities, and ornamentals. So, I mean, that's pretty.
So you think it would come up via something where Public Works would be doing a kind of global upgrade?
And you think
they would actually have the you know, foresight to say, okay, there is a historic district commission?
I mean, that's the way it should work, and that's the way it would work in other districts as well.
I see. Okay.
May I add that another scenario would be if there was a large building like 212, for example, 212 Stewart, wanted to put bike racks as an amenity.
It would
live on the sidewalk adjacent to their building. And that's a
but even a there, Steve, scenario. even there, Steve, I feel like there's like a million types of bike racks around the city. I had no idea that the city only mandates like one from their official point of view, that they only put in one, because there's a lot of different kinds.
Yeah, I agree. There's one I've been seeing a lot, which is kind of there's a vertical post with a circle.
Yeah, that must be the city
one. We
see
that one a lot.
Yeah.
You know, other places have other things. The library, for example, has something different.
Exactly. Okay. And, you
know,
all right.
We're not, you know, and as a commission, we wouldn't be saying, we're certainly saying, no, we don't want these. And we're not saying that we're experts in, we know where they need to be located. But, you know, we want them to be a certain color, which would be black or something that would complement the district, a certain material, you know, in terms of location, we, you know, there may be a monumental building or significant building, we wouldn't necessarily want one placed in front of. You know, I mean, that could be, you know, maybe somewhere where there's a monument, or, you know, I'm thinking, you know, maybe in front of the former Our Lady of Victory's church, where we want a bicycle rack right in front of that, that would, you know, impact the visual appeal of that building. But, you know, I think really our concern would be in terms of material and color, and scale.
Makes sense.
Can I ask a follow-up question here, which is has to do with temporary versus permanent? I know that we are very concerned about things that are permanent, but if something is temporary, not fastened down, like a, you know, like a big belly trash can, for example, where the thing is actually movable, or a planter that is, you could pick it up and move it, do we have jurisdiction over those things?
Well, we're seeing here we're not saying temporary. You know, I think temporary would be if it's only going to be in place for a limited amount of time.
Right, and not fastened down, like not bolted in.
Well, I mean, these, you know, what we're saying here, all street furniture, including but not limited to planters, trash receptacles, bicycle racks, mailbox, and newspaper racks, those would not necessarily be bolted down.
No.
Yeah, okay.
They're meant to be permanent. You know, they're not meant to be out for just a limited amount of time.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking that in part is just to clarify, this has come up in other conversations with other neighbors, whether if someone does something that is temporary, it's not really fixed in place, it could be removed, is that something that has to be reviewed, you know, with historic guidelines?
Like
for
what, Steve? Like what?
If someone wants to change their mailbox, for example, that'd be an example.
Their mailbox?
That's on the outside of a building. One would think it would come under our purview.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've seen things like that before.
Yes. Yeah. Are you thinking maybe like if someone puts a planter on their front steps, or?
Well, let's say if the planter is just a ceramic pot, you know, like a big, you know, like my neighbor has one of those.
Yeah, no, it's we wouldn't.
It's about two feet high and, you know, a foot and a half around.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be our purview.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm good with this. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And then I think, you know, the last.
What about the lamps?
Lights.
Sorry about that. Let's see here. All right. This has to do with, and I thought we worked pretty hard to come up with this language based on the 212 Stewart Street, high efficiency fixtures, lamps, and automatic timings are recommended. Existing gas street lights are to be retained whenever possible. If replacement of lighting source is necessary, high efficiency fixtures or passive energy fixtures are encouraged for reducing the energy consumption. The visual impact of these fixtures to the gas street lights shall be minimal, and the lighting quality shall replicate that of the existing gas fixtures. Mm-hmm. And the comment was the Wu Administration and Public Works Department stated its position that all gas lamps will be electrified. We had a meeting on the street 2 years ago, and we all remember that. We had a few to view the 7 trial electric lamps in Bay Village. The sentence, existing gas street lights are to be retained whenever possible, should be removed, as it's contradictory to the Public Works Department's stated position and objectives. I also do not understand how the Bay Village Architectural Commission has jurisdiction to dictate what the fuel source of a street light would be. I believe the enabling legislation is about, I'm sorry, this is blocked, but I think you see what the comment is. So, you know, again, I think we worked hard on the language that we came up with. I don't think we're saying that the gas light fixtures cannot be replaced with electric light fixtures. You know, it was my understanding when we went through that review process on 212 Stewart Street that we were saying, you know, we weren't approving the wholesale replacement of gas lights throughout the city and throughout the district, but this was sort of an opportunity for us to see what it would look like, and that, yes, there was the ability to come up with an excellent electric version of the gas lamps. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, given what our current guidelines say, that just say existing gas lights are to be retained, you know, if we were to just keep our existing language, then we'd be in total conflict with allowing the gas lamps to be changed. So, you know, I don't see a reason why our current language is not in line with what Public Works and the mayor's office is trying to do. Yeah. Here.
I think they're nitpicking.
Yeah. Trying to show us how important they are.
Yeah, how much they know. So,
may I ask, Joe, and do you need to actually reply to the person at...
I feel it's necessary.
I think that's smart.
Yeah. But what I mean is, you have to actually make a change, or is it sufficient for you to say, we think we've done a good job on this subject?
That's why I'm presenting to all of you, because, you know, I just want, you know, I want to show you again, and just to reinforce the fact that we've really put a lot of time and thought into this, and, you know, we haven't tried to rush this and have been thoughtful about it. So
thank you for their concerns.
Yes. Yeah. And again, I think the underlying message is they really don't want to be reviewed by the district commission. And that would be an ordinance change. That's not what we're trying to do here. Really, our goal here has been just to make it more clear to people, property owners, staff, commissioners, on what the expectations are for making changes in the district.
Can you go back to the language that we're proposing?
Yes, yeah, just get back there.
High efficiency, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's unfortunate? I know that this has to go through a written process, and people need to get their, positions on paper. But I think it's unfortunate that a conversation couldn't have happened, Joe, where some of this could have been worked out, you know, because it's as if there's two conversations going on here at two different levels, you know. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I mean, you'll figure it out, but it is a shame.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, again, want to be able to go back to this staff and explain that we've reviewed it. I see Tom Perkins has his hands up. Kathy, is it okay to recognize?
Yes,
Of course. So just one thought on this, and just being defensive, I think everything you guys are doing is fine, and I fully support. My concern is only, and I'm sure you'll do this, Joe, but just when you go back, soft pedal everything so that nobody digs in hard, because we've seen the circumstance in other places where, you know, the reality is none of our sidewalks, are accessible, frankly, even for able-bodied people in a lot of cases. Right. Even if they were switched over to concrete, which no one wants, we do not have sufficient clearance around the trees to make code closely, as we all know. And the problem is, if many of these issues, and it includes the gas lamps and everything else, turn into a big food fight, then I don't want to have, turning this into the mess that has happened elsewhere, I know, in the city, where it turned into a big food fight and there wound up being some really, you know, lamentable aesthetic compromises that were made in a world where all of us walk on the very lightly traveled streets anyway. I'm perfectly able-bodied and I don't walk on the sidewalks. I mean, that is actually the normal way that people proceed. And yet we, if we're not careful, I'm just worried about setting off a firestorm where, you know, before we know it, you know, 12 months down the road, all the trees are chopped down and everything is done in concrete because that's according to the technical letter of code. The general view on these things is see no evil, hear no evil, keep it quiet and recognize the city doesn't have the budget. They can say whatever they want about the LED lamps too. We all know that, you know, the money to make that wholesale conversion does not grow on trees. And, you know, it may happen in my lifetime, but it's not likely to happen in the next 3 years. So that's just my two cents on this. I just don't want to let the occasion of refining this document and these rules, which I think is a very good thing, and I think all this is in the right direction, occasion, you know, kind of kick sleeping dogs that are better left sleeping.
Well said.
That's a good point. And
very well put.
You know, keep in mind that we've already put 3 years into this thing, getting to this point. So it'd be nice to just get to the finish line with it.
Yes. And that's, you know, and that's, I think we're ready for, not today, but I think we'll be ready for a vote at our January hearing.
Great.
Wow.
To adopt these, if, you know, everyone is comfortable with, you know, the commission, you know, it's up to the commissioners now at this point. We've, you know, in all of our public comment. I think that will be our next, our path forward.
Okay.
Excellent.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Well, and I know, you know, we've had, public comment. I know Laura Shea is here. Laura, did you have anything to say before we move forward? Can make you a, I think Laura was our only other member of the public. Yeah, Laura, I made you a co-host if you'd like to make a comment, but you don't have to.
No, I have no comment. I've been listening along. Great. No comment.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Great. So Kathy, I think we can move on to minutes.
Okay. Have people had a chance to review these meeting minutes sent by email?
Yeah.
Yes.
Does anyone have any changes?
No.
No.
If not, I move that we approve.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay. Next order of business, Joe.
Great. Thank you. So I have
staff updates.
Staff updates. Good news and bad. Well, not bad news, but news. So commissioner appointments are slowly moving forward. But what's happened is at our Boston Landmarks Commission, some new commissioners have been appointed that were nominated by the Boston Society of Architects, and we're excited to welcome them. Tom Hotalian was not renominated by the Society of Architects. So he is no longer on the commission. So what that means, he served on the Boston Landmarks Commission as well as Bay State Road and Bay Village. So he's been just a wonderful commissioner since 2013. But we thank him for everything that he's
Was that a surprise to Tom?
I don't know that it was a surprise. He was, I think, slow in submitting information that he wanted to the BSA that he wanted to be renominated.
Oh,
so they had already submitted their nominees, you know, and everything. There is a whole, time, you know, how the timing goes with this. So, you know, it's one of those timing things and keeping, you know, trying to keep track on when, you need to submit.
Okay.
So, Joe, does that mean that we will get a new architect member?
At some point. So now we have the, we haven't had any movement on the Bay Village commissioners being reappointed, and I see Laura has her hand raised. Laura, would you like to make a comment?
Maybe you were getting to this, but the Bay Village Historic Commissioners, the nomination process, where does that stand? Is my first question. And my second question was, is my nomination from the BVNA or is it from the Greater Boston Real Estate Board?
So right, you know, I know you were nominated by the Neighborhood Association and I believe recommended for filling one of the seats in the Greater Boston Real Estate Board on the commission because we've had for years a vacancy in that position. The mayor's office had asked us to prioritize the district's commissioner appointments in districts where we're having a trouble with quorums. And for example, the South End currently only has three commissioners. And that's the bare minimum that you can have, that you need for a quorum. So if one commissioner is unable to attend, then that hearing has to be canceled. And we're in a similar situation with our Fort Point Channel District Commission. So we were asked to prioritize Boston Landmarks Commission because we have seats on all of the district commissions that have to be filled by BLC members. And then we were asked to look at the commissions where we were having these quorum issues. So we had to put South End and Fort Point on as a high priority. So the good news is, you know, they've appointed several new people and reappointed several people to the Boston Landmarks Commission. They're in the process of appointing people to the South End. So hopefully Bay Village will be the next, one of the next districts to get their nominations put through. But it's completely, you know, I know everyone is frustrated and it's completely out of our hands. It's all through the mayor's office.
Okay. Yeah. So following up, does that, can you make a prediction as to when, for example, Commissioner Laura Shea will be joining us?
I would say, I would hope by the spring. Okay.
Really? That's not soon.
Wow. Yeah, Lordy.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it has to do, the process requires approval by the city council. So our recommendations go to the mayor's office. The mayor's office has to submit their recommendations, which don't always follow our recommendations to city council. The city council has to schedule, I believe, probably two hearings for them. And city council doesn't meet that regularly. And I guess there's issues scheduling, that there's a very, very limited slots that they have available to put new business in. So that's part of the
okay. All right. Well, we did have one other item Kathy brought up.
Oh, yes. Is this the
you the fire?
Yes. Yes. So I'll look. I mean, I haven't had a chance to go see okay. those. There are two placards on Fayette Street, is that correct, for fire connections?
Oh, yeah.
I know of one, and there are three on Arlington. The new houses on Arlington have them, too. Mm-hmm. You know those new townhouses?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
They put them up there, too.
They're huge.
Yeah.
Personally, I thought those were mandated by the fire department itself, that it was...
They are, but I think, you know, I have to go look at the size of them because I think, you know, we can ask that they are the smallest size possible. And it looks like what you guys, in the photos you sent, they look like they're pretty big. As someone that recently had a building go on fire, I know it's important to to have them. Oh. But, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I said to her, it was not exactly subtle. It sort of jumps out of the building.
I wasn't sure what those signs actually are doing. Is that a water connection?
It is for a sprinkler system. So if there is a fire there, you know, there with a building that has a sprinkler system, when the fire truck comes up, it has to be apparent and clear where it needs to connect the water.
So not every house has this.
No.
It's new construction.
Or
multi.
Yeah, conversion with a number of units. That's the other thing that drives it.
Uh-huh.
Or you're remodeling with a certain number of units.
Okay.
And then you need the fire beacon and the bell as well. And, you know, it's all, if there is a fire, when the fire truck pulls up the street, it's very clear what building you need to go to.
So why wouldn't this have come up to you, Joe?
Because it is a safety, you know, it's a fire safety issue. So that's really, you know, there's something, it has to be there for safety. There's really.
Okay. And so somebody has mandated a sign for that.
Yes, with the bell and the beacon, those we have reviewed, and in some cases we were able to have them located sometimes in doorways. You know, if there is a reveal for the bell, the beacon does have to be visible. I think the last time we looked at the fire beacons, our goal was to get them sort of at the same level, so if they had to be installed, it would be, you know, you would have them kind of at a consistent level down the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing what you say, what you think.
All right. So I think, Kathy, I think that's all the business. We will need, to adopt the guidelines. All four of the commission, you remaining commissioners present. So if you're unable to attend the January hearing, let me know. And that'll be January 9th.
Okay.
Glad to be here.
Right. I'm going to make a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
Hey,
well, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Laura.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.